105, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Big Joe Dubin today live on the campus of Middle Tennessee State University. Football practice it's pretty much started. And Coach Rick Stockstill is here with us. Coach, thanks so much for having us out here today.
Yeah, Chase, thanks for having me here. I'm glad you guys came. This is pretty cool what Mark Owens has set up to do. So appreciate you guys coming all the way over here.
And we're excited. We announced with Chris earlier that your games will be on 93.3 Classic Hits this year. And you got a big one to start. I mean, you wanted to make it easy right out of the gates, didn't you, going down to Alabama?
Yeah, with all this conference of realignment stuff going on, I guess we act like we're in the SEC these first 2 weeks. But, no, it's a great challenge for us. We went down there in, 15, and we hung with them for a little bit. And hopefully we can, do better. And we're a confident football team right now. And, how we finished the last couple years and how well we did last year. And we're not going to be in awe. We're not going to be intimidated. We know we got to play well. We know we got to play in one of the best teams in the country. And but we're excited about that opportunity.
But and you mentioned being confident. But those games, to me, I've always looked at those are character building games. You see what your football team is all about. Of like you said, don't be in awe of the mighty Alabama or Nick Saban or whoever. It's another team that you're playing, and it's a game. So to have that be how you start your season is kind of a tone setter, isn't it?
Not necessarily. I don't think that because, if you say, it's a tone setter and you go down there and you get clobbered, what's that do for the rest of your season? We lost our first game last year, and everybody's woe is me, but we come back and we beat Colorado State, Tennessee State, Miami, so I've always felt like you never really know what kind of team you have until they're faced with adversity. And I felt great about our team last year on Sunday after that first game.
Yeah.
When we got beat, how we practiced that day, our mindset, how we communicated, how we talked, how we worked, I felt great about our team. And then, we won three straight in Miami and all that stuff. Then we lost three straight. And but the belief in that team never wavered because I knew, what we had. And, we had a bunch of injuries there in the middle of the year, but we didn't make excuses and we kept coming back. We won the last four or five games in the bowl game, the year. So that team, when it was faced with adversity, showed its true colors. And what it was made out of, it showed its metal. So, we'll find out what this team's made of once adversity hits.
24 days out, how much preparation are you putting in for Alabama? Or is that a week of thing?
Yeah, none right now. We're still implementing, Joe, we're still implementing our offense and defense and kicking basic schemes. And probably I've always – that 10 days, 11-day area window is when you kind of start – cutting back not only on who you're working with. Right now everybody's getting an equal amount of reps. Here in the next couple weeks those reps will start to diminish a little bit as you hone in on your top 22 guys, 33 guys on both sides of the ball. So but about 10, 11 days out is when we'll start focusing more on Alabama.
We're talking MTSU football coach Rick Stockstill. Coach, I know you're an offensive guy. You played quarterback at Florida State. But I got to tell you, your defense returns eight starters, and I've been watching them. That you've got to be awfully proud of that unit over there because there are some ball players over there.
Yeah, I like the leadership that we've got on defense. We're older and more mature or more experienced on that side of the ball than we are offensively. We lost, a couple good players last year in the defensive line, J.K. Wyatt and Jordan Ferguson to graduation. Everybody else is back. We've added a couple pieces, whether it's transfer guys or high school guys in there that have really fit in well and, doing a nice job. And then, we lost one starting linebacker. But everybody else is back, so I like where we're at there. And then defensively, we lost a corner, starting corner to the portal. We got the other three guys back. So
good.
I like our defense. I like the leadership. I like the intensity that we're practicing with on both sides of the ball, offensively and defensively. So I like where we're at, especially on that side of the ball.
And Jordan Ferguson's got signed by the Seahawks.
Yeah, so. And he was out here coaching, you know, 2 days ago. He won the coach. And when he got cut by the Seattle back in the spring, you know, I created a position he was going to help coach. And then he came to me, I think it was Monday, and said, I just got a call, and
good.
They want me out there. So hopefully he makes a team, and I can look for a coach, you know, later on. But happy for Jordan.
That's good.
Talking to Rick Stockstill, head coach of the Blue Raiders. You know, Joe and I used to do a high school football show together, and the first year was a kid named Brent, the quarterback at Siegel High School, that we talked about quite a bit. Now he's your quarterback's coach and pass game coordinator. What has it been like as a coach and as a dad to watch him evolve in the next stage of life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he knew he wanted to coach at an early age. You know, when he moved out of the house to come here, found a piece of paper in his room that, what do you want to be when you grow up? And
yeah.
It was like in the second grade, be a pro football player, pro baseball player, and a college football coach. So he knew he wanted to coach at an early age. And as a coach, taking the dad out of the equation, very impressed with him. I think he's got a wonderful future in this profession. He went to the Bengals in spring to their OTAs and spent a week with Zach Taylor up there and learning. They invited him up there, so that was a good experience for him. But he's a great communicator. He comes with great energy every day. Obviously, he played the position, so he's knowledgeable about it. He's got a great knowledge about the overall scheme offensively, you know, offensive football. And then as the dad part of it, just proud of him. Fun to come to work with him every
yeah.
day. You know, I'm very lucky to be able to not only coach him for those years and watch him develop as a player, but now as a dad to be able to walk into the same building with your son is pretty unique and pretty special.
You're obviously focused on your program and what's going on here, but college football is in a weird place now.
It's in a sad place, in my opinion. It's really disappointing. I'm a purist. I'm old school. I believe in the bowls. I believe in the rivalries. It's sad that, you know, we're basing all these decisions based off money. You know,
They're
not the – you know, Southern Cal and them guys aren't going to the Big Ten because of better competition or closer rivalries or any of that stuff. They're going because they're getting a bigger TV paycheck. And the same thing, you know, those guys going to the Big 12. You know, it's just sad. I hate it that it's come to this, but that toothpaste is out of the tube and it ain't going back in. But, you know, it's scary in a sense for us, group of five guys, that – you know, what's going to happen to us? You know, is it going to be those 60, 65 big guys that, you know, they break away completely from the NCAA and they form their own gig and, you know, we're over here left to fend for ourselves. So not everybody can play at Alabama. Not everybody can play at Ohio State. But there's a lot of high school kids that can play, you know, at Middle Tennessee and at, you know, Georgia Southern or wherever. And I just worry that those guys aren't going to get the opportunities that, you know, they might have gotten this year or 5-10 years ago.
With the portal, are you able to take a break? I know you talked about you saw your father, you went to Destin, but that's the portal time. I mean, that's –
yeah, well, I actually, you know, the portal was dead. It was a dead period then. The NCAA instituted the dead period the last week of June and the first 3 weeks of July.
Okay.
Mainly for us, for college coaches,
yeah,
that we
yeah.
can – have a little bit of a life, you know, so you went there. But then in the same sense, you don't want to go too be away from your own team that long. You know, you got to be engaged. And I hate saying re-recruit your own team. I hate saying that, but you got to be involved with your own team and all that. So the NCAA is looking at shortening the dead period. Right now it's December 4th or 5th till January 15th. They're looking at shortening that period 15 days, which they should.
Right.
But the one that, you know, is a bad one is the spring one. You know, April 1st to April 15th, you know, that's right at the end of spring practice. Uh-huh. You know, you think you got your team, and then somebody can walk in, you know, right after spring practice and say they're leaving. Now it's hard for college coaches to find guys to replace them in April.
Let's go back. August 31st, 2006, Rick Stockstill is about to lead MTSU on the field for the first time in a game versus Florida International.
I was at that game.
What do you remember about that day?
The opportunity to meet Don Strock, who was an NFL quarterback, you know, for the Miami Dolphins.
Was he the head coach?
He was the head coach.
Yes.
He was only there 1 year. And I said, I'm going to get to meet Don Strock. Nervous and everything, your first game ever, all that, making sure you did you covered everything, your team's prepared and all that. But the first thing was, Stock and Strock.
Oh, that's so great. And you won the game, too. So congratulations.
Yeah, hell of a game. You know, we scored right at the end of the half. Eugene Gross broke off a long one. And, then they scored and missed their extra point. And Manny Diaz was the defensive coordinator.
Yep.
And it's his first time being a defensive coordinator. And he cramped up. They're giving him IVs on the sideline in the middle of the fourth quarter during the game. I said, I bet people are going, what the hell have we got going on here?
I will say, I saw you at practice the last couple of days. This is the fountain of youth, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, it.
For you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love it. I mean, this is my passion. It's my energy. It keeps you. I love being around people. I love energy. I mean, I'd much rather be out here than in an office. And
amen.
So I just love, I still get excited every day at practice. And you guys can't see, but I keep looking at my watch under here to make sure we get going here. No, we're good. And I love it, Joe. It's my passion, my energy. A lot of things get me excited, but this gets me the most excited.
Love it.
Real quick, Coach, you know, you two are tight. Now he's going to be with you a lot as he'll be on the radio broadcast. I feel like you're excited about that, but do you realize what you're signing up for, having him around?
Yeah, I think he's going to be great, and I'm not blowing smoke up his butt. You know,
good.
I've always loved Joe's energy, his knowledge of the game, his passion for the game. It comes across on TV. It comes across on radio, and I've said that for a long time, and like I said, I ain't blowing smoke up his butt. I'm fired up about it, and, Jeff Murphy did a phenomenal job last year, and Joe's going to bring so much to this broadcast and everything, and I'm fired up about it.
Thank you, Coach. I appreciate you.
We're excited about it, too. Coach, we'll let you get to practice. We appreciate you stopping by today and for having us.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming again, man. Mark Owens did a phenomenal job on this, and for you guys to come to Nashville is pretty cool.
Absolutely. He is Coach Rick Stockstill, head coach at MTSU. Chasing Big Joe live today at MTSU, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.